And now, from the world's leading maritime and offshore news website, gcaptain.com, comes the talk show for maritime professionals and enthusiasts, bringing you the latest news, discussion, and interviews with the industry's movers and shakers. This is GCaptain Radio with your hosts, Jeff Eccles and Captain John Conrad.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of GCaptain Radio. My name is Jeff Eccles and in the studio with me is John Conrad. Welcome, John. How are you today?
Doing great.
All right. It's good to see you. This broadcast is for the week of September 16th, 2013. Listeners, this is the place we bring you the latest news and happenings in the maritime and offshore industry. Today, we have several interesting things to talk about. We're Americans, John. Big is better. So we're going to talk about the world's biggest ship once again. We've touched on that before. You have some experience with this ship, and they have an article in Bloomberg, so we're going to talk about that. Also, we are going to talk about a lofty subject, which is the cannabis ship.
Yes.
That is high on my priority list, John.
Very, very intellectual discussion.
And lastly,
if you get deep into the nuances of the maritime trade.
Yes, yes. That boat is quite a trip, from what I understand, if you're on that boat. So, lastly, if we have time, we're going to talk about what Google is doing in terms of putting a perspective on what happens or what the inside of a ship looks like. So, we've got all kinds of good stuff to talk about. So, first up, John, let's talk about this world's biggest ship. We have covered this ship before. Now, the reason that I'm bringing it up, some of our listeners know, some of them don't know, I'm actually a registered investment advisor. So my illustrious past was about a two-year stint as a merchant seaman right out of college. I graduated from Long Beach State University in Southern California, gosh, about almost 30 years ago. Yeah, I'll be 50 here in a couple of months. So it was too long ago. And I got my degree in finance, and I didn't want to go straight to work. So what did I do? I did what every good business graduate should do. I got my Z card and went out and sailed the seas for almost 2 years as a deckhand. I was an esteemed ordinary seaman on 285-foot research vessels. So had a good time doing that. And then when I came back, well, I don't know if good time, I did a lot of hard work and had good experiences. Let me put it that way. It wasn't all wine and roses as anybody that's
went
been on
the North
ship.
Atlantic on a rather small ship.
Thank you for mentioning that. That was one of my crowning achievements. Oh, about halfway through my tenure as a merchant seaman, I was able to cross the North Atlantic
in early
winter, 285-foot. And we got some weather. So I remember, 35-foot. We got into 35-foot seas, and we were going up and down. And one of the neatest things, you've probably seen this too, because you've been out at sea so long, is when the winds really started howling, I remember when the surface of the water basically disappeared. There was almost like this layer of, gosh, it looks kind of like sand, but
Last time I was in 35-foot seas, I was on a ship that was almost 800 feet long, and that ship was too small, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, it was incredible. It was one of the most amazing things, actually, to this day that I've experienced in my life. So when I got back, I went into the business that I intended to go into, which is investment manager. So these days, I'm a registered investment advisor, and I manage money. I manage portfolios for people in the United States here, even for a few mariners as well. So we'll talk more about that in shows to come. So I subscribed to Bloomberg Businessweek, and on the cover of this latest issue, when I saw it, I got excited because it says, "Holy ship," little play on words there, "inside Maersk's Titanic bet on the biggest boat ever built."
Damn it, there you said the word boat again. This is not a boat, Jeff. I keep reminding you every week, we can't call these ships boats.
Well, we can blame the author on this one because I'm reading the cover. So take note of that, Bloomberg Business Week.
There was a heated discussion on Twitter.
Really?
Drake Bennett, who wrote this, is a friend of mine, a guy, one of my good friends in high school, Marshall Louie, was Drake's roommate in college. And we went on this trip to Korea together. And he did a good thing, but we got all this abuse on Twitter.
Right.
It's interesting, too, all these assumptions. When you write a book and you go on a journalist trip, they assume you don't know that much about ships, that you're an author. All these assumptions with, for instance, when I wrote the book, as well, your name kept coming up because everyone assumed that writing a book makes you an instant millionaire. And this right. is the best money man. You have to talk to Jeff because there's going to be a lot of money coming in with this book.
Right.
Jeff is the best money manager in the Central Coast.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. So so Drake Bennett did write this article. There are some great pictures in it. And so you were on this ship. So if you would just briefly recap the experience that you have with this class of ship. It is built by Maersk, the largest ship in the world. It's called a Triple E class. And this boat, this ship, is 1,312 feet. To put that into perspective, the Titanic was about 880 feet. The Empire State Building is, with the antenna up on top, 1,454 feet. So without the antenna, this ship is actually larger, longer, taller, if you stand it on end, than the Empire State Building. And you set foot on this ship. So tell us a little bit about that.
Correct. Last week's podcast, we talked about how good Maersk is being and incorporating new social media and working with GCAP on stories. And they invited me and a number of other journalists to go to South Korea before this ship was delivered. It was in the water, but they were still building it. And they gave us full access to the naval architects who designed the ship, the engineers who were building the ship, and the DSME shipyard. And this is not something easy. These shipyards are very secretive, very private. They have a lot of technology. They don't want to escape to competing yards. But Maersk was able to talk them into this fully immersive tour. And on the tour was Drake Bennett, who wrote this article. And we became fast friends because GCAPTN's been mentioned a number of times in Business Week, Bloomberg.
And so I wanted to mention that too. GCAPTN was actually cited in this particular ad because as I read through, I noted a citation to GCAPTN. So
yes.
I'm proud of what we're doing here and proud of GCAPTN and the renown that the site is attaining.
And the specific mention of GCAPTN was something that only GCAPTN reported on. And that was the fact that a shipyard worker died in the construction of this ship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it wasn't a Maersk employee. Maersk had absolutely no fault. It was in the early stages of building the ship. It was completely the responsibility of the shipyard, this death and the related injuries that happened at that incident. But the shipyards are very quiet and private. But I mention that not to disparage the shipyard and certainly not Maersk, who had no culpability in that, but just the fact that the size of these ships, we are doing something new. And we forget the human toll, the human element that this is a dangerous, large, heavy construction project that is being undertaken. Now, you said we're Americans and we like things big, and
right.
I would much prefer this ship to be built in the United States.
That's for sure.
This was in South Korea, and they do some amazing work there. But it is still dangerous, heavy steel.
So when you visited this ship, it was in the water. It wasn't up in the yard on the hard.
This one was in the water, okay. And the second ship was already in the water. And then there were, I believe, two or three more that were up in the dry dock.
And I have to admit ignorance on this. I don't know a whole lot about shipbuilding. But do they do it in segments, sections? So the ones that you saw up on dry dock, were they in sections or is it the whole darn ship there?
If you could imagine if someone took a knife and cut the ship like it was a loaf of bread into slices, but thick slices.
Right.
And then that's how the ship arrives. And I think 40% of this ship was built in China like that in slices.
Wow.
Called mega blocks and brought to South Korea. And the other 60% was built in South Korea, but they were all assembled in the DSME shipyard.
Okay. There. So the pieces are made, those slices, as we are calling them, are made and then put together there at the shipyard.
Yes. And
fascinating.
Lifted on enormous cranes. They have cranes that can lift it. And then they have to be aligned within less than a millimeter tolerance, which is incredible.
Yeah. That's amazing. Do we have facilities, to your knowledge, John, here in the United States to even do something that enormous?
Certainly. We build aircraft carriers. Newport News builds aircraft carriers. If Newport News was able to get a contract for a ship like this, it would cost more, but they would be happy to build one. But it's really the cost. And the cost is talked about this on previous episodes, but it's efficiency. The Korean shipyard workers are actually paid as well, if not better, than American shipyard workers. They have, they're off weekends, the whole shipyard, they have holidays, and but when they're working, they're between breaks, every person in the shipyard is actively working. American shipyards cost more because they're a lot less efficient. People are taking breaks and going, and the leadership and the planning doesn't, you know, it's not just the workers, it's the leadership getting these guys motivated and having the plan. So at the start of the day, the guys know what to do. And, you know, working when I was chief mate on board ships, you can have the most motivated crew in the world, but unless you line them out properly, give them jobs that they can do, small tasks that can be accomplished in a time, they're not going to do them. So that's part of the American shipyard problem too. It's not just the American worker being lazy is what everyone calls, but it's also the management and the systems are not in place to allow these guys to work at the same efficient level.
Interesting. And not to get overly political, but whenever we talk about labor in the United States, and of course with my economics background, the word unions always comes up as well.
Yes.
How would you chime in with regard to the unions and that level of efficiency in the shipyards here in the United States?
Is that a trick question?
No, you can call that a fat pitch, though.
What are your thoughts on the?
Oh, here we go.
Union labor.
Well, I think
you unions, were you union when you were on board ships?
Seafarers International Union, SIU. Yep, yeah. And my first job out of My first job out of college was a merchant seaman. But while I was in college, I was actually a Teamster. And received very good wages for that time. I worked for a company called Price Club, which is now Costco. So most everybody knows Costco. But the fellow that had invented that concept was a guy by the name of Saul Price down in San Diego. And so I think I worked at their 16th or something store up in Southern California. And at that time, the labor there was unionized and we were Teamsters. So I was actually a Teamster for a couple of years and grateful for it because I earned a living wage that allowed me to pay for my college education, pay for my room and board, graduated from Long Beach State without any debt whatsoever. Of course, back then the Cal State system was a little more affordable too than it is today. So you know, when it comes to unions, I think it's an easy whipping boy for the argument for a lot of conservatives. I consider myself kind of in the middle, more of a pragmatist, a conservative when it comes to economics and the Constitution, on some social issues, perhaps more liberal. So I think they get an unfair rap a lot of the times. On the other hand, I think it is an antiquated system, and I'm a free market guy. So I think if unions are to survive in a free market, more power to them. If they're unfairly given advantages, then they shouldn't be around. So I would love to see the competition work. I'd love to see the free market work. And I guess to a degree it is. We're seeing these ships built overseas as opposed to here in the United States. So a little bit of a middle of the road answer, but that's my outlook on it.
We could talk all day about maritime unions, but my largest bone of contention with the United States maritime unions and the unlicensed unions have overcome this. They merge, NMU merged with SIU, and now it's one big thing, and they can really, you know, work for their members. How effectively they're working is debatable, but the officers union, we still have three separate unions that compete against each other. Mm. And this competition again amongst union is what is suppressing American wages and why you can go to a non-union ship, offshore drill ships, and get significantly better wages and better benefits.
Wow.
Than the union ships, it's because the unions are fighting against each other. They're essentially two companies that are trying to get their people employed.
That's counterintuitive, isn't it? Because here one of the stated objectives of any union is to take care of their membership, and one of those biggest goals is, of course, the best wages that they can negotiate for their labor pool. And you're telling me that these union employees are getting paid less than the non-union employees.
Because that's in order to take care of their members need jobs, and there are only a limited number of ships. The American Merchant Marine, the Deepwater Merchant Marine, hasn't been in continuous decline, even though over the last 5 years there are a lot less ships. And those unions are trying to maintain the jobs first and foremost. And in order to do so, they have to they have competition. MMP competes against the AMO for those very limited resources. And what happens is the MMP says, we can offer a wage of this much. And AMO goes, we can get you mariners for a little less.
Well, as you mentioned, we could talk all day about the unions. Let's get back to Big is Better, the biggest ship in the world. So what was it like? You actually got to walk on this ship, and you said you had basically unfettered access to the ship. So what was it like going on this on the world's largest vessel?
It was a real dichotomy between being completely unimpressed and in a complete state of awe. There was nothing particularly new about the ship, except for its enormous size. You walk and you're truly dwarfed, unlike any other ship I've been on. I've been on 1,000-foot tankers, but the tankers, the deck is clear. And definitely the tanker, the super tanker, you go down into the tanks and it's like a cathedral down there. You're overwhelmed by the size. But up on deck, there's not much to see, not much to experience. But on the cargo ship, you have all the containers and the bridge is overwhelming. So immense state of awe. But then when you focus down on individual systems, when I looked at the bridge, when I looked at the engine room, this ship does not have the largest engines in the world. The previous class, the Maersk Emma class, which is smaller than this one, had the largest engine in the world. This one doesn't because it got too big. Now they have two smaller engines. So the engine room was unimpressive. And there were no real advanced systems that really stuck out at me when you look at it at a micro level. But as you zoom out and take in the whole ship, it's, wow, this is an enormous vessel. And especially compared, this is larger than our largest aircraft carrier. Our aircraft carriers carry between 5,000 and 6,000 seamen are needed to run and operate those vessels.
Yeah, a whole city on the water.
This is being run by 20 or 22 people.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. So that's a very interesting observation. So the size, according to what you're telling me, was the most impressive thing about this, which I suppose stands to reason. And speaking of size, there in the article here, they use a few statements here to put that in context. So a triple E class ship could carry more than 182 million iPads in one load, or 111 million pairs of shoes out of Shanghai. I mean, that is amazing.
It will carry. iPods primarily go over on aircraft. They are primarily air cargo because they are so small and so high value, and they depreciate so quickly. You know, an iPad, if it's delayed 6 months, is worth less than a new one.
Interesting.
But shoes, certainly. 90% of everything we buy that is transferred on these ships, but most of the cargo is just components. So you won't get the shoes, but you'll get a whole container full of shoelaces.
Right.
A whole container full of just the Nike swoosh that's going to be sewed on the shoes in another port.
Right. Very interesting.
And it is so cheap to ship stuff now that I was just reading in Scotland, they catch the fish. It's actually cheaper to put it on a refrigerated container, which is a lot more expensive than a normal container. Mm-hmm. They put it on a refrigerated container. They ship that fish to China where it's filleted, put back in the container and brought back to Scotland for the supermarket.
Wow.
That's cheaper than hiring local people just to fillet the fish.
My goodness.
That's how efficient these ships have become.
Yeah, that's amazing. And that our global commerce allows that kind of transition to occur. So just a couple other interesting facts and then we'll move on. I found this interesting. A single link of the anchor chain weighs 500 pounds. That's just one link of that anchor chain, and the chain is huge, looking at a picture of it. And then the other impressive fact, as far as Big is Better, is the propellers on this thing, the screws, 32 feet in diameter. Did you have a chance, by any chance, to see those on the...
Yes, impressive indeed.
Wow. So 32 feet across. Absolutely amazing.
And I will also say, you know, a big thank you to Bloomberg for incorporating us in the process. Name a major magazine, and there's no attempt to brag here, but they've called GCaptain, and I've helped with every magazine, but no one goes to the level of Bloomberg. Not only did they send one of their top reporters there, they sent a photographer, and we spent hours on the phone in the weeks after reviewing each information in this article. There are very few articles about shipping in the major media that are correct.
Right.
But I challenge any of our listeners to read this article and find something that's incorrect.
Right. Well, and I think
Bloomberg does an excellent job, not just with maritime, but all subjects.
Well, and just the little nuance. I mean, there's something, for instance, that with the experience that you have at GCaptain and the perspective that GCaptain comes to the industry with and the breadth of knowledge, here's just an interesting observation. In this article in Bloomberg, they used the iPads as a context number, whereas you being in the industry know that actually those would never really be shipped on that boat. So sometimes it's even those little things that really raise the bar in terms of the level of reporting. But great article in Bloomberg. The collaboration that is occurring between Bloomberg and GCaptain is fantastic. So we've only got better and greater places to go from here. Anything else with regard to the biggest ship in the world before we move on, John?
No, download the article, go get Bloomberg. And I really encourage everyone to subscribe because I'm very critical about most major media outlets. But Bloomberg Business Week, I think, is the best. And Drake did an excellent job here.
All right. So we've got this next subject coming up. Now, we normally don't play reggae music here on GCaptain Radio, but this is a very, very special story. This story is about a ship full of cannabis. That actually was set afire out in the middle of the ocean in order to what? Get rid of the evidence, John? I like this story. We got to talk about this. So what do you know about the cannabis ship?
The ship was transiting off the coast of Malta when they were about to get inspected by the Malta Coast Guard. A fire erupted and soon there was a distinct odor permeated the smoke. The Malta government issued a release saying that the crew purposely set light to this weed in order to not get prosecuted or not get found out. But we don't know the exact. The 30 tons is what Malta said was on board, but it was all burned.
Tons.
So how do you know the exact amount?
30 tons. Boy, I think there was that old movie by Cheech and Chong called Up in Smoke. So 30 tons of marijuana going up in smoke. And this ship was...
Cheech would have shed a few tears.
Oh, yeah, more than a few. And I think he would have been right in the mix of things. And this ship was registered out of Tanzania, and it's called the Gold Star. And this occurred on September 6th. An interesting aside to this, doesn't have anything to do with this ship, but we're here on the Central Coast in California, and just another, what are called Panga boat, which I think they're about 30, 35-foot boats. They're designed for fishing down in the Sea of Cortez in Mexico. They've been bringing cannabis up the coast and ditching the Panga boat. So they've been coming up, finding a venue here somewhere in the Central Coast. We know because we've caught a few of them, the law enforcement has. They use GPS on both sides, just basically via either a handheld GPS or a cell phone, and they coordinate a drop-off point. They go to that drop-off point, they unload all these bales of cannabis, and they're duct taped up, and they've got the duct tape is fashioned into a backpack style, and they get a lot of these mules or people that they call mules, these people that will transport this, and then they just ditch the Panga with very nice outboard motors on that Panga as well. So this is this. There's obviously a very large trade of transporting this cannabis around the globe.
Yeah, right before summer vacation, I dropped my son off at the elementary school, and half the students hadn't shown up yet. And we waited and found out that the police had shut down the entire road, Los Osos Valley Road, which goes from the shore into San Luis Obispo and out to California. They shut down because they had found one of these Panga boats, and they actually apprehended them.
I'm glad that you said that the police shut down the road. I thought you were going to tell me that half the students didn't show up at the elementary school because they were out doing something else related to cannabis at the Holy Toledo.
Well, we are in California.
There's a progressive school. So no, this is
but
kind
there
of.
There was also the Coast Guardman who died in in Santa Barbara. We can't forget that. And what's happening is the Coast Guard's clamping down, especially after that death, Santa Barbara, which was very sad. And the drug lords are sending these panga boats further and further up the coast, and going around the Channel Islands completely. So
yes.
It's an increasing problem.
It is, and a serious issue. And I have to believe that that was a game changer when the Coast Guard personnel was killed, because this boat, there was a, from my understanding of that incident, the Coast Guard intercepted the Panga. They launched a smaller inflatable off the Coast Guard boat to go intercept. And the Panga intentionally turned and rammed the inflatable, and one of the Coast Guard personnel flew off the bow of the inflatable and hit the side of the Panga boat and died right there. So that's got to be a game changer. That means that Homeland Security and the Coast Guard is now real serious about it, as they should be. You know, it's sort of a take no prisoners point when something like that happens.
And it's something that directly affects U.S. mariners, because as the Coast Guard has a limited budget, they are rightfully putting more and more resources into this drug problem. And that means less search and rescue, less assets, airplanes and stuff available to go save mariners when we get in trouble off the coast. So it's in our best interest. If you see one of these panga boats zooming by or off the coast of San Diego, call on the Coast Guard, because it's a problem we want to help them with.
Boy, if we really want to get out there one of these days, we can talk about legalizing marijuana to get rid of the whole problem altogether. I love the last sentence here in the G-Captain article. So listeners, if you haven't read this story in G-Captain, you got to check it out. There's a good picture there of the cargo going up in flames. And then the last sentence on the story here, unconfirmed reports indicate the firefighting vessels had to return to port early after running out of snacks. A good bit of writing there, and a little bit of humor as well. Rob Almeida wrote that article. Good job, Rob. I love it. Very good stuff. We're about out of time already, John. Anything else with regard to the cannabis ship?
No, I don't have much experience with the whole topic myself.
Yeah, you and Bill Clinton, right?
Honestly, I don't. I've been drug tested since 17. I started going in the Navy, and I've drug tested every year since, and I kind of feel like I'm missing out on something.
So you mean to tell me...
I'm missing out on some of the inside jokes here.
So it really is just allergies. When you show up with your eyes all bloodshot and I accuse you of these things, it really has just been allergies all this time.
It's something. I'm not going to say I haven't tried it. I have tried it, but not... One thing about cannabis is it stays in your system a lot longer than the harder drugs, so... It's not a very good drug to even mess with if you have a license, because it stays in your system so long.
Right.
You know, there are some guys who completely avoid and go right for the harder drugs, because that's very hard for the Coast Guard to test for, because it's, you know, cocaine and LSD are out of your system in days, where this stays in your system for weeks. So it's not something I've ever really messed around with because of that.
Yeah. Yep.
It's a big penalty to lose your license.
Yeah. It's not worth it. You're absolutely correct.
Why did we get so serious all of a sudden?
I don't know. One minute we're talking about up in smoke. The next minute we're talking about losing our ticket.
Don't smoke out there, boys and girls.
That's right. Yes. Take it from us, ladies and gentlemen. Plus, it's the gateway drug. You know, it'll lead to other bad things. All right. Well, we've had a lot of fun this show. So we're going to come to a close here. We were able to talk about the world's biggest ship again. We were able to talk about the cannabis ship. We will hold off talking about the Google ship view. Google has a street view, but they're doing something fun with ships, and we'll talk about that next week. So we've always got interesting things to talk about here on G-Captain Radio. So John, closing thoughts for today.
I'm really excited about this Google. I wish we had time, because they are good friends with G-Captain. I've been up to the Google Oceans headquarters a couple times. Their number two guy, Kurt Swear, G-Captain, he was a long, big fan and helped G-Captain in the early years before he joined up with Google and before we became big. So these are a team that we've been supporting over the years, and they've been supporting us. And they actually got a camera and have 365-degree views inside the engine room of the ship and the bridge. And it's really cool stuff. So check out the post, and you can walk around the ship just like you can walk down the street in virtually in a map. You can walk around the ship. It's impressive.
Good stuff. All right. So, and be sure to tune in next week. We'll talk a little bit more about that as well. Well, listeners, thank you for listening. As always, we appreciate you being with us, spending the time to find out about what's going on in the maritime and offshore industry. On behalf of John Conrad and myself, Jeff Eccles, we look forward to speaking with you again next week. Be well and be safe.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest in maritime and offshore news. GCaptain Radio is a production of GCaptain.com and is recorded weekly in Morro Bay, California. For more information or to be a guest on the show, visit GCaptain.com.